morning and take, we're going to go to 1 John 3. We read part of it this morning. I'm going to preach from the translation that's in the bulletin, the ESV, the English Standard Version. I really enjoy that version. I like the New King James. I like the King James, as Minister Bray read earlier. I like the New American Standard. There's three or four really good translations that I really like. And so, but this morning I'm going to preach from the ESV. It's in your bulletin. And I'm continuing preaching 1 John 3. I want to also give a shout out to Jaron. He did a great job leading that song. Amen. 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 We thank, praise the Lord for that. Thank God for our teens singing with our adults. And you know, it's summertime now, so our choir does practice on 8 o'clock Wednesday night. And I know that's kind of late during the school year, but if you have a teenage daughter or son who wants to come and sing with the choir, definitely come to choir practice on Wednesday night. And sing, use your gifts and talents for the Lord. Sing for the Lord. Good to see all of y'all here. Just great to see all of y'all here in the house of the Lord. I'm going to read in your hearing 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 9 through 16. That would be my emphasis this morning is 10 through 15. But I'm going to read 9 through 16. The text says, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him. And he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life. How do we know that? Because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this, we know love, that Jesus laid down his life for us. That Jesus laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. I'm going to read verse 11 again. For this is a message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. My question this morning to you is, are you passing the love test? Are you passing the love test? You may be seated. Are you passing the love test? Father, I pray that indeed may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Speak now, dear Lord, for we, your people, need to hear. Give us all listening ears and a heart to receive what you are saying to us this morning. In Jesus Christ's awesome and powerful and magnificent name. Amen. Are you passing the love test? Are you passing the love test? There was a song written many years ago entitled, What's Love Got to Do with It? Some of the lyrics of this song even said, call love a secondhand emotion. That song said, what's love got to do with it? Well, the text before us this morning, Minister Brady, the text before us this morning suggests that love, biblical love, has everything to do with it. It's critical. Those of you who have been tracking with us and going through 1 John, that's one of the main messages of 1 John is Do you know God? Do you know Jesus in a real and authentic way? And if you do know him in a real and authentic way, it will show in your lifestyle. You can't just say, I love Jesus, I know the Lord, and your lifestyle be saying something totally opposite. You know, God said, I am holy, so you be holy. Just last week, I asked the question, what are you practicing? How are you living? You know, this is a good time to let the Holy Spirit do a self-examination, a self-evaluation. You know, am I really in the Christian faith or not? Am I really a follower of Christ or not? Now, if your answer is no, or if your answer is, I don't really know. Guess what? You're in the right place. You're in the right place. I rush to the cross. Rush to the feet of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Rush to him who is our great redeemer. Rush to him who is our great reconciler. Rush to him and say, Lord, I need you in my life. And if your answer is yes, you are a Christ follower, you ought to rejoice this morning. I said, you ought to rejoice this morning that you're born again, that you belong to Jesus, that God has pulled you out of darkness into his marvelous light, that you have a relationship with the living God, a relationship with your creator. That's reason to rejoice. I said, that's reason to rejoice. So this morning, this is like a win-win message. If you don't know Jesus, you can get to know him today. If you do know him, you ought to rejoice and say, Lord, help me to be more like you. Quick review. Verse 10, as we're going to lunch out this morning, says that the child of God, the follower of Christ, will practice righteousness because, quick review from last week, they love God and they love the word of God. From last week, if you missed it, you can go out to our website, and it's on our website. We put those out there most weeks. Every now and then we get a week or two behind, but just go out to the website. It's out there. So I won't re-preach last week's message, but let me just reiterate, if you're in Christ, you won't continue to practice sin. Remember I said last week, now we do sin. Everybody should have said amen. I said, we do sin. We miss the mark. We mess up. But as Christians, as Christ followers of Mother Mark, we don't just wallow in sin. We don't just practice it and continue in it. Matter of fact, the Bible says clearly, if you practice sin, you don't belong to God. You belong to the devil. These are not my words. These are the words of God. But as a Christian, we don't practice sin because we love God. We love his word. We don't practice sin because we understand the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to take away sin. Yes, he did. He came to take away sin. He came to declare us righteous. We have been justified. He came to set us apart. We have been sanctified. That's the penalty of sin. Is we were justified to cancel the penalty of sin. We don't have to go to hell. We don't have to be thrown into the lake of fire. That's what we deserve. But by God's grace, God being rich in mercy, he has justified us. He has declared us righteous. So we don't continue in sin because we understand that Christ came to cancel the penalty of sin for the believer and also to cancel the power of sin. We have been sanctified. We've been set apart unto God, set apart unto holiness, set apart unto righteousness. And also we understand that Christ has come, that one day we're going to be glorified forever away from the presence of sin. That's a wonderful thought even of itself, that one day I won't have to worry about any more sinful thoughts. I know I'm the only one got sinful thoughts every now and then, but I don't have to worry about no more sinful thoughts. We don't practice sin because we are abiding in Jesus Christ. We're hanging out in him. We roll with him. You all remember my dishes illustration, you know, that crusty stuff on that plate. Put it down in some soapy dishwater. Let it abide. Let it hang out, Brother Griggs. Let it hang out with that soapy water. Then that crusty stuff comes off easier. If you hang out with Jesus, that crusty stuff will come out of your life much easier. You know, that unforgiveness to try to hang out in there, it'll come out a little easier. That anger that's kind of trying to control you, if you hang out with Jesus, you can get rid of it easier if you're abiding with Christ. Also, we don't practice sin. We don't just ongoingly practice sin because we realize, that's in verse 8 of 1 John 3, Jesus has come to destroy the works of the devil. The devil has some power, yes, but he is a defeated foe. I mean, his time is short. If you don't believe me, just turn over to near the end of the Bible, Revelation 19. Now, he's going to get thrown one day, or maybe 20, thrown one day into the lake of fire. And then also, We don't practice sin. We don't just ongoingly continue in sin because the seed of God, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you and me. If you are a Christian, God, a very God, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us. Is this thing on? The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of the Christian. So I don't have to sin. Now, I do sin. I don't have to sin. I got power. I got the power of God. You got the power of God in you. God said he would not even allow some temptation to come upon us. But God is faithful that with the temptation, he'll give us the way of escape also. So sometimes it's a sin. We might not want to take the way of escape. But God gives a way out every time. Let me pause real quickly. It's so good to see Sister Burst. Sister Burst is a newly coach of Sadie Daisy Girls High School basketball team, I think. Good to see Brother Tyler and Kayla. We'll be praying that you do well, continue to do well. So we don't practice sin because we are of God. So we don't practice sin. It's not the way we roll habitually. Right? Then the second test this morning, what we're going to look at primarily is the Bible says clearly, if you are of God, you're going to love the brethren. So that's what I'm saying. How are you doing with this love test? How's your love life? How's your love toward other people? How's your love toward the brother or sister in Christ? Because verse 10, the latter part of verse 10, 1 John 3 says, if you're following Christ, you're going to love your brother. Because the one who doesn't know him, he does not love his brother. You know, our church name is Love Fellowship. Our church name is Love Fellowship. We have the audacity, it's on your bulletin, to say that we love God, we love his word, and we love people. How are we doing with that? I mean, that's what we are proclaiming. And it's not just, should be just for Love Fellowship, it's local church. Any follower of Christ, any local church, our Miracle Cross Street, all of us should be loving God, loving his word, and loving people. But we put it out there. We just say it every, we say it all the time. It's on our church bus. Are you passing the love test? Yeah, we've written two songs about it. I think Hawthorne wrote the first one, and Brother Jeff wrote the second. We kind of updated, put some more, little more lyrics on, a little more meat, a little more Bible in it. We got two songs about it. And check this out, though. If you're in Christ, again, the Holy Spirit is in you. The first fruit of the Spirit, you can't get in Galatians 5, the first one that's listed, you can say it with me, the first one that's listed is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. John 13:35 says this. Pastor Smith, Kevin Smith, preached a great sermon on that back. It's on the way up as well, website as well. John 13:35. By this, all will know. Everybody will know that you are my disciple. This is Jesus speaking, Brother Rizzo. Jesus said, everybody will know that you are my disciple. How would they know, Jesus? He said, if you have love for one another. So this love test is not some superficial thing. It's not some unimportant thing. It's really one of the ways we share the gospel. It's really one of the ways we make disciples. We can have the best evangelism team in the world. We can have the best little tracks and best kind of little mechanism. But if we don't have love for the brethren, that undercuts us as trying to share the gospel with others. It's a very important thing. So how are you doing with this love test? 1 John 4:8. We'll get to that in a few weeks. So it tells us that God himself, God is love. Now God is holy. God is righteous. God is just. But as you read your Bible, when God lists some of his attributes like I am this, you need to really pay special attention. So God said, I am love. So if you're godly, if you are a worshiper of God, if you are a follower of Christ, our love, brother and sister Kelly, should be coming out of our lives. Jesus summed it up this way in the Gospels. They were asking Jesus. They were always trying to try to trap Jesus. They were always trying to do that. And I love the way Jesus handled his haters. So I love the way Jesus handled his haters. Mother Lawson, he handled them a lot of times just very kindly, but then sometimes very sternly. So they came to him one time, well, what is the greatest commandment? They didn't really want to know what the greatest commandment was, but he said, okay, since y'all asked me that, okay, I'm going to give you two. The first one is love the Lord. Here it is. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength. So the Mary Ann, Jesus, God said, give him everything you got. And then he said, okay, the second one is likened unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. He said the whole law and the prophets, everything in the Bible hinges on these two right here. Jesus, I'm going to make it real simple for you, but yet hard to pull off. But Jesus said, there it is right there. So what's love got to do with it? Everything. Are you passing the love test? How's your love life? And verse 11 even goes on and says, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. In other words, John said, this is not something new. John said, you've heard this from the very beginning, that you should love one. It's not like a new commandment. You should love one another. Now listen, let me be very clear in what the text is saying and very clear in my articulation this morning. When God says love one another, that does not mean you're going to necessarily like everybody's personality. Not going to like everybody's personal preferences and quirks. Let's be honest. You ain't even like all your own habits. How do you think you're going to be liking everybody else's habits? You ain't like all your own stuff. If y'all like me, I don't even like some of my own habits. So it far supersedes that. It's loving somebody even in spite of. They might have a kind of, let's just be real, they might have a kind of unlovable type of personality. But God said love them anyway. Love them right where they are. Because all of us got some our own little quirks. But we're called to love one another. Love one another. Well, how should we love them? Actually, this week, before we really get to how should we love them, John is going to first tell us how not to love them, what not to do. And you have to stick with us till next week. We'll get to more about, how to love them. But this week, we're going to look at primarily what not to do, what not to do. Here it is right here in verse 12. Here is what not to do. Somebody said what not to do. What not to do. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. And this is a great biblical example right out of the Bible. I love when you're reading the New Testament and it quotes, points back to the Old Testament. I talk to some people, they be like, well, I just read the New Testament. I don't read the Old Testament. Well, Jesus quoted from the Old Testament all the time. You need both. You need the old and the new. Matter of fact, they had an intermediate. You need that one too. You need all that God got. So John said, look, I'm going to give you an example. What not to do. Don't do like Cain and Abel. Now, they were biological brothers, you know. They were, of course, you had Adam and Eve, and their first two children was Cain and Abel. They weren't half brothers or nothing. They were biological, but it wasn't like, what's that old saying? Mama's baby, daddy's maybe. No, none of that. There's only one man and one lady on earth. So they were biological brothers. So let's look real quickly. We're going to put a few verses on the screen a little later, but we can get to Genesis, right? We can get to Genesis chapter 4, right? Genesis chapter 4. Let me read this real quickly. This is how not to love. Cain and Abel, they're coming to worship God. They're bringing their offerings to God. We all know this biblical account, or most of us do. But in this day and time, they tell us, the experts, if you will, on preaching and teaching, say, well, you can't take a whole lot of, make a lot of assumptions like you used to about it. Y'all remember about Daniel and the lion's den? Well, no, everybody don't know about Daniel and the lion's den. Not today. They, this day and time, people, they're not really brought up in the church like many of us were. So you got to kind of take your time and explain everything sometimes. And it's good to review it anyway for all of us. But Genesis 4, 3 through 9, I'm just going to kind of read this and then expound just briefly how you are not to love. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry. Y'all see that? Cain was very angry. This is how not to respond. And his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, listen to this. This is an instruction for all of us. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And it's this, one translation says sin is crouching at your door. I love that imagery. Like sin is ready to try to attack you. Sin lies at your door. It's crouching at your door. And its desire, sin's desire, is for you. But you should rule over it. That's a command to us, God. So sin is trying to get you, but you should rule over it. Now, Cain talked with Abel. Now, before I read the rest of this, Cain should have kept on, mother, he should have kept on talking to God. He should have gone back and talked to God some more. But said, Cain talked to Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? Cain said, I do not know. Lying. Sometimes sin runs in packs, you know, in partners. He's first killing and murdering, now he's lying. He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Some people might not know. That came right out about here. I was watching part of the game last night, and I think it was Reggie, one of the commentators. He said that statement. Am I my brother's keeper? I was thinking to myself, he might know. He might know the Lord. I wondered if he know that's in the Bible. That's in the Bible. Am I my brother's keeper? But Cain, and that Cain said, let's look at this real quickly. Cain and Abel, they were blood brothers, right? They both came to worship God, right? So the Bible is not portraying Cain as like an atheist or an agnostic or even just an unbeliever. We don't know where his heart was with God, but he's coming to worship, right? So watch my point. Cain and Abel, brothers, both of them are coming to worship. And even in the text, Cain is referred to as the wicked one, the evil one, one of the devils. So, but Cain is coming to worship God. He and his brother Abel both are coming to worship God. Y'all with me this morning? But Cain, the Bible says he's of the evil one. Even this morning, in 2019, maybe even right here this morning, Love Fellowship, or maybe across the street, or maybe other churches around this city, around this state, around this nation, around this world, you have groups of people coming to worship God. Some are of the devil, and some are of God. Let me say that one more time. You got people that come to church. Some are following God, and some are not following God. They may or may not even know it or realize it, but they may even be like Cain. They come and you know, the offering came through a little early. They may even put a little something in the offering plate. But Cain and Abel, they both came to worship God, but one of them was a true worshiper. But watch this. Here's a shout though. God comes to Cain and tells Cain, Cain, I see your heart. You're not right with me. I see this anger. You can get it right though. You can confess, you can repent, you can come clean. You have an opportunity to get it right. So even this morning, beloved, if you're not on the right side, you have an opportunity to get it right. I love the fact that we serve a redeeming God who gives us chance after chance after chance after chance after chance after chance after chance. How many chances is there? After chance to get it right. He gives us opportunities too. Get it right with him and to get it right with others. So God comes to Cain in the text. He said, Cain, why are you so angry? Why are you counting this down? Just you know, repent, bring another offering, and it'll be all right. So I love the way the Lord, again, gives us an opportunity to get it right. So how are you doing with the love test? How are you doing with the love test? I mean, in your life, as we talk about loving others in your life and in my life, God does give us chances for reconciliation, Mother Scott, chances with him and with others. See, Cain was upset. It's right in the Bible, back in 1 John 3. Cain was upset. Mainly the Bible says Cain was upset. Here's why he was upset. Because his own self was wicked and his brother's was righteous. So Cain was mad because God was okay with Abel's offering, but wasn't okay with his. So with that being said, saints, verse 13 tells us, don't be surprised as a true worshiper of God. Verse 13 says, do not be surprised that the world hates you. If you're following God, if you're following Jesus Christ, you're running counter culture. The world, Sister Brady, not going to really embrace the follower of Christ. That's why y'all heard me say it before. If I'm traveling along in this thing called life and I look around and there are a lot of people on the road that I'm on, I'm like, wait a minute, I might be on the wrong road. See, wide is the road. Wide is the way that leads to destruction and many on it. Narrow is the way. Narrow is the way that leads to the Lord and few on it. So beloved, when we leave here today, don't be alarmed. If you go back on your jobs, let's see, tomorrow is Memorial Day. Some of y'all might be off work. But when you go back Tuesday, don't be surprised. If you're trying to do a good day's work and trying to live as a person of integrity on your job, the folks might try to give you a hard time. Don't be amazed if you're trying to do what the Lord says to do, that people are going to embrace you. Oh, I love the way you're doing it. No. The Bible, I just read it. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised that the world will hate you. Matter of fact, Jesus even said, in this world, you will have trouble. But he said, but take courage, for I've overcome the world. Sister Francis, we're going to have some trouble in this world. Sister Catherine, we're going to have some trouble in this world. But Jesus said, take courage, for I've overcome the world. Hebrews 11 tells us that the saints of old, the prophets of old, they were hated and tortured as well. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 11, talking about the Christian, the Christ follower. They had trials of mockings and scourgings, of chains and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword, tormented, etc., etc. I wonder, you know, when you give an invitation to follow Christ, if you read something like this, all right, all y'all want to come forward, you may be mobbed, you may be in prison, just come on forward. Now, that's not necessarily something to make you run to follow Christ, but Christ would even tell people himself, if you want to follow me, come follow me, but take up your cross and follow me, because he even said things like, you know, foxes have holes to sleep in, and birds have nests to nest in, but me, the Son of God, has no place to lay his head. This Christian walk can be challenging sometimes. Can't get any weird worries out. I said this Christian walk can be challenging sometimes. Amen. But look, we do have help though. I said we do have help. We're not trying to make it on our own. We got the helper, the Holy Spirit inside of us. But God says, don't be surprised, Brother Joshua. I mean, think about it. The world hated Jesus too. The Bible says he came to his own received him not. And it gave him an unjust trial, a jacked up trial, a messed up trial. They nailed him to a cross. But oh, he conquered death. He arose from the grave with all power in his hands. But they sent him to the cross. Verse 14 and 15 is going to kind of show us about... Ask us a challenge about which level are you living on, the level that the Lord wants us to live on or a different type of level. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 said, we know, listen, this is very important. We know that we have passed out of death into life. How do we know it? There it is. Because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. I mean, John, as the Holy Spirit guides him to write this, he's very matter-of-factly. He doesn't leave much wiggle room. He says, hey, look, you can know if you've passed from death into life, that if you are really walking with the Lord, you can know. How can I know that, John? How can I know? He said, well, do you have love for the brethren? How are you doing on the love test? Because, you know, all of us were dead spiritually, right? All of us were dead spiritually. We had flatlined spiritually, but God himself came and made us alive. And John said, you can know for sure if you are alive or not. He said, well, what kind of love do you have for the brethren? It's the love test. It's the love test. So if you don't have consistent love for the brethren, Something is wrong somewhere. Now I'm gonna give you a few things to jot down. This is kind of like a homework. It's like a very practical type of list. As you ask the Lord, Lord, am I loving others the way you have called me to love others? Now, this is not an exhaustive list, but again, Jesus himself said, they will know you by the love you have for the brethren. So one of the things you want to do is, okay, if you're spiritually alive, you want to be forgiving. You want to forgive your brother or sister in Christ. You want to forgive others. You want to forgive that co-worker that maybe did you wrong. You want to be forgiving. Listen to what Colossians 3:13 says. I'm not just picking these out of the air. These coming all right out of God's word. But to make sure you're alive spiritually and you're doing what the Lord would have you and me to do spiritually, you got to be forgiven. Colossians 3:13 says this. Says bearing with one another and forgiving. Somebody say forgiving. And forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against you, just as the Lord himself forgave you, so also you should do. One translation words it a little different. It said bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do, it says. So one of the things about this love test is that you and I got to be forgiving. Got to be forgiving. Second thing, this is not an exhaustive list. There's some other things I can give you, but just, you know, due to time, I'll just give you four. This next one is, if you have been wronged by another, ask God to heal that wound. All of us have been wronged by others. Maybe somebody in your family. Maybe somebody on your job. And even more specifically this morning, maybe somebody in the church. There's no hurt like a church hurt. All of us have dealt with that. As I track, you know, in different circles, I run into a lot of embittered former church members. Say things like, well, yeah, that church, they did me wrong. Or he did me wrong. Or she did me wrong. You got to pray and say, Lord, heal that wound. I'm not saying ignore it like it never happened and all that. No. God, heal that wound. I'm still hurt that person did something to me 2 years ago that I really didn't like. Third thing, not only be forgiving, not only ask God to heal those wounds you have, that we might properly love others the way God would have us to love others. Check this out. Pray for those who hurt you. This is not shouting stuff right here. This is just some stuff, some homework for you and me. Pray for those who hurt you, who have hurt you. Jesus even said, I pray for those who would spitefully use you. Now look, beloved, you can't pull this stuff off in your own little strength. You need to ask the Lord. You need to ask Jesus. I say, Holy Spirit, this person wounded me deeply. I don't want to forgive them. Help me to forgive them. Help me to forgive them. Pray for them. Pray for those. That was my fourth thing. Kind of got ahead of myself. Third thing is, if you're praying for those who hurt you, the more you pray for that person, or those persons, whatever, who hurt you, you keep praying for them. Next thing you know, I love the testimony on Wednesday night. Talia gave a great testimony about how she had a little situation to share Wednesday night. I'm sharing it because she shared it. And next thing you know, God worked that thing out in a great way. See, this is not just theory, saint. This is God's word. He's saying we are to love one another. And you're going to have a hard time loving somebody if you've been hurt and wounded by somebody and you're still carrying it around. You got to say, God, take this. This is bigger than me. And so pray for those who have hurt you. And the more you pray for them, God is going to soften your heart toward that person. So be forgiven. Ask God to heal those wounds, those hurts that you have. Like I said, it's many applications, church level application in your family, on your job. I'm not going to say exactly what it was. I think I shared it with y'all one time. My mother could testify. My daughter, who lives in Michigan, who I'm going to do her marital ceremony in August, a few years ago, she got out way off track. And she did some stuff to a couple of family members that was very hurting. But that's still my daughter. I still love her and forgave her and kind of worked her through that thing. But it was still hurting. I was like, how could you do that? How could you do that to family members? So again, be forgiving. Pray for God to heal that wound or those wounds. Pray for those who have hurt you. And here it is. If you have hurt others. I'm talking about how to make sure you're in the faith, make sure you're passing the love test. If you've hurt others, sometimes you don't even know it when you hurt others. But if you know you've hurt others, sometimes you know you said something or did something that was wrong and injured someone. Listen, beloved, you need to go to them and ask them to forgive you. You can't make them forgive you, but if you know you did something wrong or said something wrong, you are commanded. I'm commanded to go to that person. Go to that person. Ask for their forgiveness. So be forgiven. If you've been wronged by another, ask God to heal that wound. Pray for those who have hurt you. Then you yourself go to that person or those persons that you know you said some stuff wrong. You know you said some stuff that you should not have said. You know you injured someone. I remember when I was working at TVA as a computer programmer. This guy, he was of a different ethnic background. And so it was me, him, and some others of his background. And he said, it wasn't the N-word, but he said a racial slur. And that really irritated me. And that really kind of hurt me. And, you know, I'm in the workplace, and I'm kind of new at the job. And I'm like, man, that kind of, you know, rubbed me the wrong way. But that very next day, because he professed to be a Christian, that very next day, this guy comes to my cubicle and basically said, man, I was wrong. Please forgive me. I shouldn't have said what I said. I said, okay, man, you're forgiven. So all of us in here, I'm sure, at the point of our lives, have done some things to offend others. So I'm talking about known offense. I'm talking about stuff you know. If the Lord leads, you know, if you know it, God, go to them and say, I was wrong. I can list more, but those are just four good little checkpoints to say, hey, I want to make sure the Lord, you just said that people will know me by the love I have for the brother. And you just said I would know if I've passed out from death to life if I have love for the brethren. So love is shown and known. It's shown and known. It's not just, I know about it. No, it's known. You know it. Yes. But it's also shown. It's demonstrative. Here it is. God demonstrates. He shows. He makes known his own love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we would all be messed up if God said, I'm going to just kind of wait and see how, if he kind of start trying to get it right, or if he make a couple steps toward me, then I'll rescue him. Or then I'll send my son. No, while we were still messing up, while we were still running away from him, while we were still doing our own thing, God sent his son, Jesus. You know, Genesis 6, when man was still sinning, God said, hey, Noah, start building this boat. Whoever comes to the boat, I'm going to save him. So love is not just known. It's shown. It's demonstrative. This type of love, this biblical love that God is talking about, this love test that he's talking about. So we not only have the righteousness in how you're living, but how are you loving? It's easy to love those who, you know, love you back. It's easy to love those who are lovable, so to speak. Verse 15. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Sometimes we read our Bibles too fast. That's a very serious statement. Say, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now, Jesus has some very similar words to say about this murder thing. Now, I know as I look all around, as best I know all of us, I don't think any of us has physically murdered or killed anyone. But we've murdered people in our hearts. We've killed people with our words. You can murder people with your words. And Jesus, it's not like a big differentiation between Jesus. Jesus said, hey, your thought life, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And we often talk about how if a man or woman lust after someone else, as if they've committed a sexual sin, and that's true. But Jesus said something just very similar, about the same, about this whole thing about our anger, our heart attitude. So it's going to be on the screen, Matthew 5, 21 and 22. Matthew 5, 21 and 22. These are the words of Jesus. These are the words of Jesus. He said, you have heard said of old, you shall not murder. That's a commandment, right? You shall not murder. He said, you've heard that. He said, whoever murders will be liable to judgment. That's talking about murder. That's talking about physically killing somebody. Jesus said, you know that. This is what he said in verse 22. Show you how important your thought life, what's in our heart, how important that is. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. That's some serious teaching from Jesus. Jesus is saying, if you got anger or hatred in your heart towards someone else, if you're gossiping on other folks or slandering or those types of things, he says, be careful. He said, really, you might be a candidate for hell. He said, be careful with that. Now, once again, the Bible is not saying you can't be angry at all, because the Bible does say, be angry and sin not. But what do you do with your anger? What do you do with those things? See, once again, Cain was angry and God gave him a chance to get it right, but he went on and carried it all the way out to murder. So maybe a lot of us may not necessarily go that far, but if you're not careful with that hidden anger, that suppressed stuff in you, it will fester up so much. So it's as if, once again, you've murdered somebody in your mind. You might begin to murder their character or slander their name, or those things. So Jesus said, be careful. Not just the physical murder, but what's in your heart. See, a lot of people talking about, well, you know, the Old Testament, that was rough, but the New Testament, we got grace, and we got grace throughout the Bible. But when you listen to the teachings of Jesus, like what I just read, I beg to differ. Not like the New Testament, the bar came down here. Now, it seems like, if anything, so the New Testament took the bar higher. Like now, just not, you can't go out and shoot somebody, and that's a sin. But no, but if you have hatred or anger in your heart towards someone, Jesus, that's a sin. Again, this morning, our God, when he shows us these types of things in our lives, I love the fact that he doesn't just, boom, expose it, show it, and just kind of leave us there. No, he really demands a response. Matter of fact, he calls for a response. So like on something like this, like if you know you got some, you know, maybe this is just between you and God, maybe just between you and God, you haven't even impacted anybody else yet. But if you know you got some things in your heart toward others that's not right, that Jesus is not pleased with, guess what? Jesus said you can repent, you can turn away from that stuff. The Bible said if you confess, 1 John 1:9, I mean, that's kind of like one of the anchor verses in this whole book. Jesus said, okay, your attitude towards someone is not a loving attitude the way it should be. Jesus said, okay, you can confess. He said, if you confess with your mouth, you just confess, and he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's good news. And then he can and will allow you or enable you to begin to love others the way you should love others. He gives us an example, and we'll launch off here next week. He gives us an example. For next week, we'll have more like, this is what you need to do specifically. And I give you some general things you need to do for us, going to people and forgiving others and those things that I gave you a few minutes ago. And then next week, we'll look at some more black and white tangible things. Go do this. Because look what he said in verse 16. He said, by this we know love. How do we know love? That Jesus, he laid down his life for us. And so we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So next week, we'll learn all the more about how we can lay our lives down for the brother. Verse 17 says, but if anyone has the world's good and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? So once again, God's love is not just known, it's shown. I can't say I love my brother and I got about 10 coats in my closet and he's walking by and he's freezing. I'm like, well, brother, I'm going to pray for you. Go by and be warmed. No, to be warm is right in my closet. 10 coats and I can't even get in all of them. I mean, love is not just known. It's shown. It's demonstrative. And we as a church, we say we love God, right? We say we love his word, right? We say we love people. That's a biblical statement. So think about those things I said earlier. Be forgiven. Ask God to heal the wound or the hurt that you have. Maybe go to someone that you know you have wounded. If a person comes to you and says, Lord, help me to forgive. I don't want to forgive them, but Lord, help me to forgive. Again, remember how God in Christ forgave you. How God in Christ forgave me. We should be the most, here it is, we should be the forgivenest people in the whole world. Who are we who have been forgiven much? All of us, listen to me, all of us deserve to be eternally separated from a holy and a righteous God. All of us deserve to receive the wrath of God. But God being rich in mercy, he saw fit to give us grace and mercy. Give us another chance. And then we won't act like we don't want a person to do it wrong one time. Oh, hey, you got me the last time. You don't get me again. No. We got to be forgiven. I'm not saying, you know, be wise. I'm not saying, but I'm just saying be forgiven. Be forgiven. Just as God in Christ, Colossians 3:13, just as God in Christ forgave you. I know that's what kind of helps try to keep me halfway on point with it. I'm like, that's right, God. Yeah, you forgave me. Yeah, okay. Listen to this and I'm through. 1 Corinthians 13. I want to encourage you to come on Wednesday night. If you're not coming on Wednesday night, we're going through I Am a Church Member based on 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And we were talking about this on this past Wednesday night, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, the first part of that. I'm just going to end this sermon right here. I couldn't land it any better, Brother Bray. I'm just landing right here with the words of God. Since we're talking about how are you doing with this love test. How's your love life? Does it show that you are a follower of God or you're not a follower of God? Here it is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. Love is not arrogant or rude. Love, it does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable. It's not resentful. So if any of those things dominate in your life, I mean, that's not true love. Love, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. Here it is. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never ends. One translation said, love never fails. Beloved, that's the mirror that we look into. That's true biblical love. Again, it's a love that you nor I can just conjure up in our own strength. But we need the help of the Lord. I think sometimes, maybe not intentionally, but I think sometimes we forget that just like we had to have the Lord to save us. I'm sure all of us agree theologically and biblically that none of us saved ourselves. I said none of us saved ourselves. God saved us. Jesus came and saved us. He set us apart. He sanctified us. So as we go through what the Bible alludes to and I call progressive sanctification, we need Jesus every day. We need him for salvation. Yes, we need him at Calvary's cross. We need him when we were born again, but we need him every day to try to live this Christian walk. I need him every day to love others that you may not even feel like loving. So Lord, help me. Help me to be more lovable toward others. That John 13 again, that when people see us, members of the body of Christ, when people see members of Love Fellowship, they'll know that we are his disciples. How would they know, Lord? By the love we have for one another. Right in the text, Verse 10, two tests. Those who are following God, those who are not. One is those who practice righteousness. That's your prevailing lifestyle. The other is those who love the brethren. Those are the two tests. Right in the text. Right in the text. Lord, I indeed pray that you would help us to be on the right side of this test. And if someone is on the wrong side, dear God, draw them today. Let them run to the cross.